Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke 11, starting in the 37th verse. And while you're looking for that, Luke 11, I now have homework for you. This is your homework for every day of this week. Every morning or evening, I don't care, you pick that time. The person that you prayed for today, you pray for them all this week. Don't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer, but that same person. You pick that person this morning, for now until next Sunday, that's the person I want you to pray every day for their salvation. Alright? And we'll see what happens. Maybe some great things, maybe some wonderful things come out of it, and it may be that we've now just planted the seed, and somebody else is going to water and see the flower grow. That's your homework for this week. Luke chapter 11, starting in the 37th verse. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not wash first before the meal, was surprised. And then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and other kind of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men will walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say those things, you insult us also." And Jesus replied, "As experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets and you build the tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be responsible for all of it. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and yet you have hindered those who were entering." When Jesus left, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. That hurts to even listen to, doesn't it? Say amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you make these words that are about to come forth from you, not me, strong and fertile, that they would grow us, that they would teach us, that they would raise us up a little bit. And that though we will never be perfect, we will never have a righteous body until we meet with you in the air. Let us be there ready to help, guide, direct, and love those seeking you. We are those beacons, Father. Let us hear these words and be strengthened by them. In Jesus' name, and his children said really loud, amen. Well, that was really loud. All right. You have to understand, I have this malfunction. That's what I choose to call it. Wendy may tell you this dent in my head. But I have a malfunction. When I see something that I don't understand, I get confused by people and I start to become short of patience with them. And I know you find that hard to believe because I am the picture of patience. You want to see me in action? Just get in the car with me. I get frustrated with them. I get wound up because of the way I think, the way I was bred to think, the way I was raised up to think. And I hold that very dear. And when I see people steering away from what I perceive is right, there goes my malfunction. You can call it what it is. I become judgmental. Oh my, Paul Leatherman. You're not supposed to be judgmental. But I do. Now, my family and I are big fans of this food called pizza. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful stuff, isn't it? I laugh because I remember hearing the story of the first time that these two had pizza in 1957. You had come down from Cumberland. See, I remember certain things you tell me. I can't imagine life without pizza. It's the most perfect food. You got your bread, you got your dairy, you got your vegetable, and you got your meat. Don't tell me it ain't healthy. Do you remember, we go to Pizza Hut a lot. Do you remember when they used to serve soda pop at the Pizza Hut in them red, funny looking glasses? They had the textured outside. You just suddenly realized they don't do that anymore, right? Now they're big, tall, clear glasses. They're plastic, but they don't use them red glasses anymore. And I often couldn't understand that. That was a Pizza Hut staple all of my life. And then I read one time that the reason they don't use them anymore, the reason they went away is because people were never quite sure if the glasses were clean, if they were being served a dirty glass. You can't see through them things. You ever try to do it? You get a headache. You'd have to look inside, and most people don't get a chance to look inside of them because here comes the soda, and you just grab it and start drinking it. And in today's world, where everything has to be clean and perfect and sterile, well, I'm afraid I'm drinking from a dirty glass. My children eat food they've dropped in the dirt, even to this day. And I look at them and I go, it makes you tough. I don't wash my... We live in an unsterile environment in my house because I believe that's how you get tough. You see this here cut on my forehead? You can't see it, but look for it afterwards. I've got to tell you this story because it ties in. There is a scar right here. 2 weeks before my wedding, I'm working on a steam engine. I have to get it inspected, and I'm taking the grates out. Now, none of this makes any sense, except that there's a heavy piece of metal in there that ties the grates together. And in order to take the grates out, you have to take the one bar off, take the pins out, fold these two pieces of metal up, and you're working, and you're supposed to tuck them back, and you're supposed to make them safe, and I wasn't doing it. And one of them, I'm up there laying underneath of the grates, cold, black face, and I'm working. Pow! One of them come down and hit me right in the eye. Right there, right to the bone. Instantly, blood coming down. And I get out, and there's four boiler inspectors from the state of Maryland there. Two of them were rookies, and one of them had to go stand in the bushes for a minute. Because I said, look at this mess. And he said, man, you got to go to the hospital. I said, no, I know how to fix this. And I just reached around in the gear of the steam engine and pulled out a big daub of grease and cleaned it off and just packed the grease in there. And I hear a lot of you going, oh, don't play like you ain't never heard that. And then I went on with the inspection. And I went home. Grease kept the dirt out, kept the blood in. I got home. I walk up on the front porch. Been bleep, and my wife goes, what did you do? That's going to ruin the pictures of our wedding. Not, are you okay? I knew that day what this wedding and this life was going to be like. We live in an environment that is so sterile, and so that's why dirty glasses. That's what I read that they took them away from. We have twin sons. And I had a recently similar experience. Their job is to unload the dishwasher. And they hate doing that job. And it's evidenced by the way they unload it sometimes. Sometimes they don't dry off what they're supposed to. Because our dishwasher is old and junky, and I guess I'm going to have to get a new one. And it doesn't work real well. And sometimes you have to dry the dishes because they don't dry. And sometimes you have to check and make sure that it washed what it was supposed to wash to start with. And so the other day, I go whistling into the kitchen every Sunday morning. I like to have a cup of cappuccino, and I've got my favorite mug. It's got a John Deere tractor on it, big, heavy thing. I yank it off of the water, walk over to the pot, start the pot up, get the little cappuccino mix out, and I set the cup down, and I'm just about to pour the cappuccino in, and I looked inside, and it was dirty. And I said, "Good for you, boys, I gotta clean this thing up." And we look at the outside of the world, and sometimes we forget to look inside. And sometimes we show the outside of the world without showing what's inside. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we are dirty glasses. That's how it is. Sometimes we get so caught up in making sure that everybody sees us in the right way and my malfunction and everything around me is right, we are a dirty glass. And that ought to settle the answer to this sermon, because I've had about four different people go, "Dirty glasses? What is that about? Daddy, what, my glass is dirty again?" No. I want you to be reminded of something. Now, this sermon was headed in a different direction when I started writing it until yesterday morning. I had to go to a restaurant with my Uncle Harold. Me and Uncle Harold was headed up deep into Pennsylvania, pick up some parts for a tractor. He buys breakfast, I drive. It's a pretty good setup. Unfortunately, he loses money. Because when he's buying, I start on that side of the menu. Yes, I'll have all of this. No, I'm just... And we're sitting at the table. Now, I am a child of the way I grew up. When you walk through the door of a house, what comes off your head? Your hat. It don't matter where you're at. That hat, you walk through the door, it comes off. You sit down at the supper table with the hat on your head. My grandmother would come up from the ground and get me if I did that. I firmly believe this. And so it's just a natural thing. Walk through the door, off goes the hat, set it down. Sits down on a chair, on the floor, whatever. You don't wear it at the table. Say amen if you don't. And you still believe that way, right? That's called respect. And yet, I look around this restaurant, and here's men that are older than I am, sitting there with hats on, shoveling food in their mouth. And I thought, what in the world has happened? And then another family comes in, father, mother, teenage daughter, and they sit down. He's got his hat on. I'm immediately like, so I'm just trying to eat, but they're sitting. And the food comes, and they're about to start putting the food in and start eating. And the mother goes, "Hey, we got to say grace." And the father had a fork full of food. He's like, "Oh, yeah, whoops." He puts the fork down and begins to say a prayer. They all hold hands. It's wonderful, right? He didn't take his hat off. And my malfunction snaps into the overdrive right then and there. Man, I'm sitting over there. I'm like, I wanted to go over and ask him, "What were you doing?" And then I got caught in my own dirty glass. I get confused by people. I'm like that kid that went to the university for the first time and had on a big t-shirt, and on the front end of his t-shirt was a large K, and he wore that thing around there, and as he was going around, somebody said, "What's that K stand for?" And he said, "Confused." And the person said, "But you don't spell confused with a K." He goes, "Now you get the idea how confused I am." That's how confused I get. We owe everything to Jesus Christ. We owe everything to the Lord above. And that's where my malfunctions start to run away. And I want to go over and just take your hat off. Give the respect that's due. And then I suddenly realize, hey, dummy, you got a dirty glass also. It makes me confused. It makes my head hurt. It got me to thinking. And I'm starting to put this sermon together, and a sermon that was going to be about making sure that you are a beacon of light turns into reminding yourself not to be judgmental. Now, does that mean you don't point out something when it's wrong? That's not what it means. Mean judgmental. What's the Bible say?
Why are you looking at the speck of sawdust in my eye when you got a board sticking out of yours? No. The Bible also says, get a hold of that brother. Get a hold of that sister. Come along beside of them. Jerry Clower had one of the greatest ever statements. He said, I've been a member of the South Fork, Louisiana Baptist Church, or South Fork, Mississippi Baptist Church, all my life. He said here recently when I was home, one of the elders called me up and said, hey, we got to go over and see somebody in the church. His foot done slipped off the furrow. Anybody in here know what that means? Better know what that means. You're all farm people. Walking along, your foot slips down in the furrow while you're trying to plow. Never mind. I have to make another sermon out of that. What? He said, what the guy? He said, we got to go over and help him. So he said, I called one of the elders of the church. And the elder of the church said, what did the scallywag do? I need to know what he did before I go over there. And Jerry Clower got mad up and said, yeah, why don't we do that? Get a bucket full of stones and let's get some chains and go over there and beat and thump on him real good. No! Our job is to slip alongside of them and lift them up and hold them and help them straighten that plow out and get them back up on the solid ground. And we forget that sometimes. Our glass is dirty on the inside, even though we polish the outside an awful lot. And I get conflicted about it because you have a job to do when you see somebody doing something wrong. But you have to do it the right way. You don't never want to walk up to them and say, hey, you shouldn't do that. That's not the Christian way. And that's where we fall apart. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I've been seeing something and I just want to check on you. I want to make sure you're okay. I'm curious about where you're going. Now, the person receiving it may not always be happy. Because do you know what hurts more than anything? The truth. We know when our inside is getting dirty, don't we? Say amen. Amen. You know when you've messed up. You know it. H.A. Ironside, one of the great evangelists, great bishops, he tells this story about him himself. He said that he was judging the folly of others. He was showing how clean his glass was. When he related the incident of a life of a man named Bishop Potter. He said Bishop Potter was sailing for Europe, and Bishop Potter was a great bishop of the Church of England, and he was sailing for Europe on one of these great transatlantic ocean liners, and when he went on board, he found that another passenger was to share his cabin. Now this is a man of God. He looks like a man of God. He doesn't look like some old hillbilly in bib overalls. And when he went on board and found this, he went to see the accommodations. He went up to the purser's desk and inquired the following, if he could leave his gold watch and his other valuables in the ship's safe. He said, ordinarily, I never asked for that privilege. He said, but he had just been to his cabin and met the man who was to occupy the other half of the berth. And the purser accepted the responsibility and took over the valuables and smiled broadly and remarked, it's okay, Bishop. We will be very happy to take care of them for you. The other man in your room has already been up here and left his valuables after he said the same thing when he met you. You have to be careful. And this is a Christian's problem. It's my malfunction, and I get lost in it. I see you in the house with a hat on, I lose my mind. I see you sit, and you can ask my wonderful bride, when we sit at dinner in a restaurant, I wonder why she goes out in public with me sometimes. Because all I do is sit there and fuss. Here's a beautiful steak in front of me, and I'm worried about these three knuckleheads over here that won't take their hat off at the table. And I keep thinking, man, I wish my grandmother would go get them. And that's a problem. Because while I'm sitting there doing that, I'm forgetting what I'm here for. To be with my family, and I'm trying to show everybody Paul Leatherman, the proper preacher, going to sit over there and judge them for wearing their hat. In the meantime, I'm making myself look like a knucklehead in front of my family. And we do that. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying right there. I should have just titled this thing, Woe to You, but then everybody would have not showed up for church this Sunday because everybody would have thought, man, I must have really messed up. But Jesus Christ said, woe to you who would sit there and judge someone when your own house is dirty. That's a hard thing to hear. When I read this, I was like, do I really want to go this route with it? Do I really want to preach from this scripture? Do I really want to go through all those woe to yous? And I said, yep. Because if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, I don't preach to you on Sunday morning, I preach to myself. Because I've messed up somewhere along the way in the week. And I need to remind myself. Jesus Christ says, woe to you. And the greatest thing there, one of the experts in the law answered him, teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. And Jesus replied, and you experts in the law. Stop it right there. Who in this room is an expert in the law? Everybody. Because everybody in this room has made that commitment. I accept Jesus Christ. I know that He came from God. I know that He stepped down out of heaven. I know that He walked on this earth, born a virgin, walked on this earth as a man. I know that He bled and died on that cross for me, and 3 days later rose up and went back to the Father and secured my place in heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
You're an expert in the law, because that's the law. That's all the law is. It's not, well, you got to wash your hand and turn your pot this way and make sure your window shades are drawn this way and blah, 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 blah. No. That's the law. Woe to you, experts in the law, he says. Because you had people down. You have load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves won't lift one finger to help them. That is the worst downfall of the Christian life. That is the worst thing that a Christian can do. You want to turn someone away from the church? Judge them. Instead of putting your arm around them and pulling them close to you. Look, I know you're going through trouble. Let me help you. Let me talk to you. Maybe they're not going to be happy with you, but they're not going to think of you as a hypocrite, as a dirty glass. Jesus wants us to understand that what we see in the moment is not necessarily what the truth is. I use a simple example, wearing your hat in the house. But there's other things. It was an unknown reading I have that I have committed to memory. It says, when you're about ready to haul off and judge someone, you better remind yourself of a couple things. First of all, you don't know that person. You don't know what sin that person is struggling against. You don't know what's going on in that person's life, in their very inner core, their very most being. You don't know. And now you're going to march in there and add fuel to that fire. What it comes down to is wisdom. Jesus Christ wanted us to have the sense of wisdom. He wanted us to know what to do in those scriptures. He wanted us to understand that we don't need to do His job. We need to do our job. Hey, how you doing? My name's Paul Leatherman. I couldn't stay off the bottle. Couldn't stay away from the drugs. Acted like a fool half my life. But you know what? I found Jesus Christ. I know a little bit about Him. You want to talk about Him? You'll be all right. You come over here and talk with me. Let's sit down and eat a piece of chicken and talk about the Lord. You always throw the chicken in there because people will listen. See how I slid that right in there? Or a piece of pie. Or ice cream. That's how you are. Am I perfect? Well, I happen to think so. But I'm not. I was going to make a smart alecky comment about getting the light to work on the overhead projector again. Like I'm really somebody, like God said, and let there be light through Paul Leatherman. But I knew he'd get me for that. And the truth of the matter is, that one cord coming out of the wall, the little plug point there is wore out. We got to get another one. Greg, are you listening? Put your hand up. Gotcha. I don't want to make too light of it, and I don't want you to misunderstand that we're supposed to keep our mouth shut. That's not the case. We're supposed to go forth with love and guidance and direction. With love, we're supposed to take what we have inside and show it to the outside. We're supposed to say, I'm broken. I can't be fixed except by the will of Jesus Christ. And you're broken. Let me talk to you about it. Not Well, ain't you just nothing? Comes down to wisdom. Comes down to being hay and being wisdom. You know what the definition of wisdom is? Knowing what to do. Henry Ford had the great electrical engineer, Steinert, I think I got his name right, come in and put in generators in his big factory. And they quit working. Well, Charlie is the one that figured them out and built them. So he called Charlie and he said, hey, come over here and work on these things. They ain't working right. And Charlie showed up. And he kind of tinkered here, and all of the electrical guys and the shop guys and the maintenance guys and Henry Ford followed him all around. And after about an hour, he pulled out a hammer and whack! Hit something on the big generator, threw the switch, and she came back to life. Everybody was happy. Wonderful. Lovely. A couple days later, Henry Ford gets a bill from Charlie for $10,000. He said, What in the world was that all about? And Charlie said, well, if you take a look at that bill, it lays it all out. I charged you $100 for the labor and $9,900 for knowing where to hit. That's our job. Not being smart, Alex, but knowing what to do. And God lays it out for us. Jesus Christ said, don't be judgmental. Be a judge to help. And did they get it? No. If you go back and read the last part of that scripture, what did those Pharisees do? They kept on saying, no, this can't be right. He's going to ruin our way of life. He's going to take away everything we have. They see, he says in there, woe to you who choose the best seats for yourself. Woe to you who choose the best seats for yourself. You want to know what your dumb pastor is all about? I'm that guy you see driving around the parking lot waiting for somebody to pull out of that front row spot so I can pour up front. Not because I want to be seen, but because I'm lazy. I don't want to walk halfway across the parking lot. So I'll put everybody out and I'll just keep driving around and around. And that's a Pharisee. Didn't get it. And sometimes I still don't get it. And sometimes we don't get it. Even when God makes it very clear to us what we have done, we are still a dirty glass. Richard J. Mao wrote this. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to read this. At a recent gathering of seminary professors, that's preaching professors, one teacher reported that at his school, the most damaging charge one student can lodge against another is that the person is being, quote unquote, judgmental. He found this pattern very upsetting. He said, you can't get a good argument going in class anymore. A good debate. He said, as soon as somebody takes a stand on an important issue, everybody else says the person is being judgmental, and that's the end of it, end of the discussion. Everyone is intimidated, and a lot of the professors nodded. Richard writes, it is the call for civility that is just another way of spreading an epidemic. Are we being so civil and so afraid that we're spreading the disease even worse? If so, then I'm against civility. Now, these are his words, and after I've read it, I like them. I'm against civility. But I really don't think it's what being civil is about. Christian civility does not commit us to a relativistic perspective. Being civil doesn't mean that we cannot criticize what goes on around us. Civility doesn't require us to approve of what other people believe and do. It is one thing to insist that other people have the right to express their basic convictions, and they do. It's called free will. It is another thing to say that they are right to do it. That's where we fall short. A lot of people say, well, you can't judge that person because they're drunk. Oh, yes, I can. I can tell you how much I love them and how much it pains me to see them doing something that they're wrong. It's wrong. Wrong is wrong. When Paul Leatherman jumps in that work truck and goes down the highway in a speed limit that says the road is 70 miles an hour for the speed limit, and Paul Leatherman's in that truck going miles an hour, and the police officer pulls me over, he's not judging me. He's pointing out, you were wrong. And then gives me a ticket, and I go to the judge, and I try to talk my way out of it. And do you know how many times that's worked for me? Because I'm silver-tongued, you all know it. You know how many times I've been able to do that? Never! Judges. He goes on to say, civility requires us to live by the first of these principles, but it does not commit us to the second formula. To say that all beliefs and values deserve to be treated as if they were on par with Christianity and the Christian faith and what Jesus taught is wrong. Christian civility does not mean refusing to make judgment about what is good and true. For one thing, have you realized it's pretty much impossible to be non-judgmental? Do you realize that? Even telling someone that they're being judgmental is you being judgmental. So we have to decipher it. Yes, that's wrong. Do you hate me for it? No. Why not? Because Jesus Christ looked down at me and does not hate me for the stupidity that I'm capable of. And so by that, what I'm seeing you do wrong, I love you. I want to talk to you about it. I want you to not have to take the same horrible path that I had to take to get to where I'm at now. I want to love on you for it. And I want to be here. Well, Paul, is it wrong? Yes, it is wrong. By whose definition? By Jesus Christ. That's the only law. That book. Well, how do you know that? Well, let's sit down and talk. Will it change somebody? Not all the time. Sorry to say. Is it going to stop you from having a dirty glass? You know, pretty on the outside, dirty on the inside? No, because we're still going to fall part of it. But if we can start thinking a little bit, if we can start remembering, if I can start thinking, if I can start remembering, which is what you need to say, then maybe we'll be a little bit cleaner glass more often. Who remembers them commercials about when dishwashers came out? Them two hens in the kitchen. I'm sorry. Two women in the kitchen talking. Remember that? And they're just, well, that was just a wonderful party last night that you threw. And yeah, love your brand new dishwasher. Well, thank you, dear. My husband went down to Sears and Roebuck, spent $12 million on this thing. It cleans everything up. I don't even have to do nothing with it. Well, honey, that thing's just lovely. Here, let me help you unload your dishwasher. And they unload it, and they pull the top rack out. And, of course, it's full of them clear goblet glasses. And she pulls it out. And her friend, who's just been dying, pulls that one up and holds it up to the light. And she goes, why, Sylvia, there are spots on your glasses. Oh, for shame. And Sylvia goes, I know, I just can't figure this thing out. And she says, well, Sylvia, if you used the spot-free rinse-all agent, you wouldn't have spots on your glasses. Here, let me help you clean them again. Well, you remember that commercial? Or the one close to it? We got spots on our glasses. Say amen if you do. Amen. Can you clean them off? Say amen if you can. Oh, I caught some of you. You can't clean it out. You can't do it. Jesus Christ can. God in heaven can. Prayer can. Forgiveness of sin can. But you can't. But what you can do is say, hey, you see me? I'm dirty glass. That's all right. You're dirty glass. Come over here. Let's talk about getting cleaned up. There's going to come that day when we're going to get held up to the sun. We are going to be clean through and through. We are going to be pure. It's going to be over. The fight is done. We're going to walk. We're going to praise. We're going to be there. But until that point, we're going to continue to have to be clean daily. And make sure you use your rinse agent, Jesus Christ. You like that? You can write that down. I won't even let you have to buy the copyright from me. Brothers and sisters, I love you all so much. And I know who you love. And all you want to do is just be with that person. And when you see them in pain, sometimes you can't translate your pain correctly. Put the prayer forth for the Lord and ask Him to do the work for you. Love them. Be prepared to tell them what's wrong without telling them they're bad. Because Jesus Christ didn't say that to me or you. He said, I love you. What you're doing is wrong. But you're not a bad person. You just need to do it this way. Say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you give us through your Son Jesus that nobody deserves. And yet it flows just as freely and happily for anyone who would desire to want it. I know, Father, that when we walk out these doors today, we are not going to be perfect. And so my prayer, Father, is for all of us to be strengthened against that which assails us. And let the world not see us as somebody who would judge, but somebody who is in pain and sees the wrong and points it out. It's okay. Use the wisdom that we've gained from what we have learned from knowing Jesus Christ and our own struggles to be that beacon, to be that reach out, to be that help, to say to somebody, hey, yeah, I'm a dirty glass, clean on the outside, dirty on the inside. Lord, clean me up inside so I can share everything with everybody. And we thank you for your Son Jesus, who with unbelievable mercy stepped out of heaven to die for us, to make sure that one day we will be spotless. Father, I pray for the brothers and sisters today that they will do their homework, that they will go away from here and they will hold that name close to them and they will pray for that name every day. And whether they're going to be the planter or the collector, that's up to you to decide. But strengthen us as we prepare for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you and we pray. Amen.